Hello, I'm Jim Weiss. You're listening to Music That Tells a Story, one of the most popular stories in the world. And it even comes with its own ballet called The Nutcracker. The story was written by a German author, Ernst Theodor Amadeus Hoffmann, or easily remembered as E.T.A. Hoffmann. Two world-famous ballets and a wonderful opera are based on Mr. Hoffmann's stories, but The Nutcracker is the most beloved of them all. The ballet takes place at Christmas and features adventure, enchantment, toys, candy, bright colors. But best of all is the amazing music, composed by the great Russian composer Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky's ballet music runs, perhaps I should say dances, all the way from beautiful and gentle to super fast and exciting. So let's get started with The Nutcracker. It's Christmas Eve. A young girl, Clara, and her younger brother, Fritz, are very excited because every year their parents have a marvelous Christmas party for family and friends. Clara tells Fritz, "Isn't it wonderful? Candles in every color, boughs and branches of evergreen trees and bushes, and oh, the best Christmas tree ever." "Yes," says Fritz. "And so many brightly wrapped presents. I'll bet most of them are for me." The children's mother smiles. "Now, Fritz, you know it isn't true. Be nice and try for once not to muss up your outfit." "Of course, Mother." But we can hear Fritz and Clara's excitement in the music. The party guests are arriving, and the pile of gifts under the tree is growing. But Clara and Fritz are waiting for the most wonderful gifts of all. For their parents' special guest is the mysterious Mr. Drosselmeier, or as they say in German, Herr Drosselmeier. And he is a master toy maker and magician. Each year, Herr Drosselmeier outdoes the gifts of the year before. Clara wonders, what can he possibly be bringing tonight? As more guests arrive, Clara's parents welcome them, and everyone who enters exclaims, "Just look at that tree!" Servants pass among the guests, offering food and drink, while Clara and Fritz invite the other children to play games. The boys, inspired by Fritz's toy soldiers, shout, "Attention! Time to march!" and they strut about the room. At a sign from Clara and Fritz's parents, the children clear back from the center of the room. For the grown-ups, dancing is about to begin. The gentlemen bow to the ladies and ask, "May I have the pleasure of this dance?" The children stare wide-eyed, and Clara tells a friend, "I just can't wait to be a grown-up lady. Then we will be the ones dressing in grand outfits and dancing elegantly." The room becomes one large flowing river of color and movement. Clara and the other girls form a circle and begin to skip in imitation of the grown-ups' dance. And Fritz and the other boys take up their games again around the edges of the room. Then the front door opens once more, and Fritz exclaims, "It's Herr Drosselmeyer." Everyone's attention turns to him.
"Goodness, look at those huge gift boxes."
"What do you think is in them?"
Herr Drosselmeyer directs the servants,
"Put this box here, and that one goes to the left," and so on.
What is the mystifying man up to? With a gesture of his hand, the boxes fall open. Inside of each is a life-size doll dressed in a multicolored costume. With one more gesture of Herr Drosselmeyer's hand, the dolls move. Each one steps from his or her box and...
"Look, Fritz, the dolls are dancing."
The dolls step and whirl, almost like real dancers.
"How wonderful," says Clara's mother.
Everyone is astonished by Herr Drosselmeyer's marvelous dolls. At last, he calls out, "Halt!" And the dolls stop moving. The toy maker announces, "As always, I offer my thanks to our kind hosts.
I have saved for last my special gift for Clara and Fritz. Turning to the boy, he announces, "For you, dear boy, here is the finest, shiniest trumpet I have ever made. Just right for your marching. And dear little Clara, here is my gift for you." He hands Clara a Nutcracker doll, wonderfully carved of wood in the shape of a toy soldier, and with moving jaws, strong enough to crack the hard shells of nuts. And he shows Clara how to use it. Oh, thank you, Herr Drosselmeyer. And she dances about the room with the Nutcracker in her arms. But now Fritz's joy over his trumpet turns to jealousy over Clara's Nutcracker. He tries to pull her doll away from her. "Give me that! Stop, Fritz! Oh, no!" The Nutcracker falls to the floor and smashes. Clara's heart is as broken as her new toy. But Herr Drosselmeyer assures her, "I can fix it." Taking out his handkerchief, he lifts up the Nutcracker and ties the handkerchief like a bandage around it. There, good as new. The grateful Clara hugs the toy close, then gently sets it in her doll bed beneath the Christmas tree. "Here, little Nutcracker, you can rest after your injury." Meanwhile, Fritz, forgetting his jealousy as quickly as he came upon him, is blowing his trumpet and leading the other boys in a march around the room. But the music and the mood change when Fritz and Clara's grandparents tell the other adults, "We would be honored if you would join us now in the Großvatertanz. That is, the grandfather's dance." The Großvatertanz has ended, and with it, the evening's festivities. Guests and hosts have all had quite a time, and everyone feels sleepy. The guests thank Clara and Fritz and their parents, and start for home.
Clara's family and servants blow out the candles, one by one. And the scene of excitement and celebration becomes a quiet, calm place once again. Clara says a special good night to her nutcracker in his doll bed under the tree. Then she climbs the stairs. But what's this? Something is moving about in the now shadowy living room. It's a number of small mice scurrying in and out among the shadows, looking for crumbs left behind from the party. Can you hear them rushing about? Clara does, and she tiptoes back downstairs. She's not usually alone down here after everyone else has gone up. As she looks around, she thinks she sees Herr Drosselmeyer perched atop the large grandfather's clock. But she will have little time to think about this. Suddenly, all around her, things begin to move and change. Everything in the room is growing larger. Clara notices it, but apparently, so do the mice. They scamper around, glancing nervously about. And then, something startling happens. At first, Clara isn't sure what is occurring all around her. And then she sees it. The candles, so carefully blown out earlier, begin one by one to flicker back into light. The walls and ceiling of the room are moving upward and back. Everything in the room is growing larger. And now, before the startled girl's eyes, the Christmas tree begins to grow up and up and up. Taller and taller. Goodness, the marvelous nutcracker is growing too. He has grown to be Clara's size. And so are Brother Fritz's toy soldiers.
The mice have grown too. No longer tiny and shy, the mice prepare to charge across the living room. And out from behind the Christmas tree comes a frightening figure. The Mouse King. The newly grown toy soldiers hurry to form battle lines in order to stop the mice. And a terrific battle begins. The Mouse King, swinging a great sword, is too much for the toy soldiers. But then the Nutcracker draws his sword. And a lightning-fast sword fight begins between him and the Mouse King. Cries Clara. She takes off her shoe and hurls it at the Mouse King, who's knocked off his feet by the blow. The Nutcracker leaps forward and with a mighty thrust kills the Mouse King. The other mice rush over, lift up their dead king, and retreat from the living room, leaving behind the toy soldiers, victorious.
This is the International Children's Arts Network. ICANN is made possible by Portland Spirit, celebrating the holiday season with our annual Cinnamon Bear Cruise. All throughout December, join me, Queen Melissa, the fairies, and Cinnamon Bear, full of magical fun for the whole family. More information at cinnamonbearcruise.com.
Mm-hmm.
star, where can you be? Missing from the Christmas tree. We've been searching high and low. Tell the cinnamon bear where he should go.
You're listening to ICANN.
And what's this? Clara is overwhelmed by all that she has just seen and done. But now, she experiences an even greater shock. The Nutcracker doll is already human-sized, and now, as she turns to him, he is changed. Changed wonderfully into the most remarkably handsome prince one could ever imagine. As she stares, he smiles at her and bows. And looking into her eyes, the prince says, "Thank you. Thank you for saving me in that duel." And seeing her surprise, he continues, "I know that my transformation must surprise you." Now come with me, for I should like to show you other wonderful surprises. And he takes Clara by the hand, and once more her surroundings change. She looks around in wonder. Snow is gently falling among the evergreen trees. There ahead, in white, are two figures. The prince tells Clara, "May I introduce you to my friends, the Snow King and the Snow Queen." Then the snowflakes become dancers, all in white. More and more snowflake dancers appear to circle their king and queen and Clara and her prince. A voice sings on the rising wind that carries the snowflakes. Now the flurry of snowflakes becomes a dense snowfall around Clara and her prince. As the snow dance ends, Clara and her prince walk onward. Soon they reach a tall gate. Why, it's made all of candies. Sure enough, chocolates, peppermint candy canes, lollipops, gumdrops, marshmallows, and more make up the gates, reminding Clara of the party earlier in the evening. This is the land of the sweets, the prince explains. Everyone has been waiting for you to arrive. Such sweet music, says Clara. It is the land of the sweets. The prince leads Clara through the gate and up to the most graceful, most beautiful figure Clara has ever seen. The prince says, "Allow me to introduce to you the ruler of this sweet land. This is the Sugar Plum Fairy." Trumpets announce their arrival in the land with a grand fanfare. And when the prince tells the Sugar Plum Fairy of the night's events, the fairy says, "We must have a celebration of your triumph. Come, sit upon my throne. We shall offer a marvelous entertainment in your honor, featuring dancers from different lands." Clara and her prince step forward and are seated. There's a rush of movement, and a troupe of Spanish dancers hurries in. The women are in chocolate-colored ruffled skirts, accompanied by tall, handsome male dancers. These chocolates and this sweet cocoa are our gift to you, they say. Then they break into a rhythmic Spanish dance, the women waving their bright fans and clicking loud castanets in their hands, while the men stomp their heels upon the floor. Clara keeps exclaiming, "Just look!" And the prince and the sugar plum fairy take delight in Clara's enjoyment. The Spanish dance is done, then they move off, and into the open space before the throne moves a mysterious Arabian woman, draped in veils and wearing tinkling bells on her ankles and gold jewelry on her arms and a golden headband. She serves Clara and the prince aromatic Arabian coffee and then spins off into a graceful dance, her bells tinkling and her colorful veils floating around her. Next, to the song of a flute and the plucking of violin strings, a trio of Chinese dancers enters, wearing pointy, wide-brimmed hats. We bring you Chinese tea, sweetened with honey, they tell the prince and Clara. And having presented their gift, the dancers break into a merry, hopping sort of dance that makes Clara laugh. Then, as suddenly as they came, the Chinese dancers dance off. They are followed by a troop of leaping Russian dancers. They're all in striped red and white costumes to match the candy canes they present to Clara and the prince. Now they shout, and they begin a lightning-fast acrobatic dance, arms and legs flying and kicking out as if they had springs in their legs. Says Clara. The next dancers are quite a contrast. These dancers accompany their gentle dance by blowing into pipes made out of reeds, the long hollow plants that grow at the edge of lakes and streams. They're called shepherd's pipes, and Clara and the prince catch their breath and sit back to watch and to listen to the reed flutes. The prince points. Look! Moving forward to join the pipers comes a group of shepherdesses dressed in ruffled petticoats and dresses with bright hair bows, like little Bo Peep in the famous rhyme. We bring you sweet, almond-flavored marzipan candies. Marzipan's an extra special treat, and Clara nibbles on one piece after another. This is delicious. Why, it's Mother Ginger. She is the strangest looking person Clara has ever seen. A sort of cross between Mother Goose and a giant puppet. Mother Ginger moves forward in astonishingly wide skirts. How can she move in those? A moment later, Mother Ginger lifts the hem of her skirt off the floor and out scurry the tiny Polichinelles, little baby clowns. They run around in what seems confusion at first, but then hurry over to Clara and her prince, saying simply, "Bonbons! Bonbons!" Handing over the candies, the Polichinelles turn and fall into a surprisingly organized formation as Mother Ginger directs them in a dance.
And now the Polychinelles scamper about once more, like baby ducklings, as old Mother Ginger fusses over them. At last she calls, "Come, come," and gathers the little darlings back under her broad skirt. She calls, "Goodbye, my dears, goodbye," and waddles off. Prince are still chuckling when they hear the opening notes of a grand, graceful waltz. Dancers dressed like flowers in every color of the rainbow sweep forward, filling the stage like a huge, dancing bouquet. Swirling among them is a solo dancer, dressed like a sparkling dewdrop. And so the waltz begins. Smiles. "I never thought I would ever see a waltz of the flowers." And her prince is happy to see her so delighted. The sounds of the waltz are irresistible, and Clara and her prince are swaying in time, seated on the throne of the Sugar Plum Fairy. "And wait until you see what's next," he tells her. And she answers with a glorious smile. Thank you.
Now it is the turn of the most elegant dancer of all. The Sugar Plum Fairy. Accompanying her is her gallant male partner, the Cavalier. They nod to Clara and the Prince and begin a pas de deux, a dance for two, for a female and a male dancer. Sugar Plum Fairy, who twirls round and round in a continuous series of what are known as pirouettes, dancing on her tiptoes and seeming almost to float on air. Goodness, exclaims Clara, for suddenly the fairy is floating on air. Over and over, her dashing cavalier lifts her high over his head in a series of great, arcing lifts. Finally, the Sugar Plum Fairy and her cavalier dance from sight. But an instant later, the Sugar Plum Fairy returns to dance en pointe again. That is, on point or on tiptoe. Smoothly, she flows through her solo dance. The Sugar Plum Fairy and her cavalier return for a final section of their dance together. Faster and faster, the cavalier turns the beautiful fairy. Higher and higher, the cavalier lifts the Sugar Plum Fairy into the air. And now the Sugar Plum